previously on Bad Radio.
Now on Channel 21, the worst thing about Channel 21, and no offense to the lovely young piece of eye candy they have doing the roaming the sands, but Jim Knox is a special breed. Jim Knox is not on Channel 21, though. Jim Knox
gets a night off once in a while?
Is only in the Fox box. Do you know that?
Did not.
So only if the Rangers are on Fox do you get Knox. See? What's the girl's name that does 21?
I don't know.
Julie Dobbs?
Yep.
Yep, that's it.
Julie Dobbs. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Wow, Groobs knows her name.
And Sean jumps right in.
So creepy.
What do you think?
Hey,
Sean is
bird-dogging that.
Been creepy on that in the press box?
And when she enters the press box, it's like Night at the Roxbury.
Oh,
up
my
there.
God.
Everyone bumping into her. And all the little...
Everyone's licking their pinky fingers trying to put their
eyelashes
down.
When she walks into a Stars press box, everybody goes nuts.
All the horn dogs.
So press box hot.
Just respect her as a member of the media.
But they're trying to use this league as a testing ground. And let's see how these things work. And if they work well, we can then have some basis to say, look, this really worked. But it worked. Let's do this in the majors.
Hey, Dan, the drop third strike is when the catcher drops that, when the batter swings through and misses and he drops the ball and he tags the runner out instead of throwing it to first, where the hitter can still advance to first because the ball wasn't received by the catcher. That's called the drop third strike. The strikeout and then...
No, I know that, but it says it's expanding the drop third strike rule to all counts. And I didn't understand that. I know the drop third strike rule. I'm very familiar with that. I'm not sure what this would mean. But again, I'm going to get bogged down if I start to worry about that. So if they bring
they're
in a million dollars...
5% of that?
Yeah.
Distributed among them.
And the women are getting, like, let's say 10%.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, I don't know. It's not an easy question or answer, I suppose.
Where do you stand, Julie? Being a lady?
Yeah.
Do you care?
I do care, but I was over here reading about if my cat would eat me. Because people were sending me articles.
Well, what'd you find on that?
Yeah, let's hear about that.
Apparently
I'm more interested
will.
In that.
Let's pivot the conversation.
I think they all will.
Oh, really?
Cats and dogs.
Oh, boy. But they wait till you're dead, right? They're not going to kill you.
Not necessarily.
They're not going to kill you.
Yeah, but... you could still be alive
sorry,
and they'll
I do
start
want to
eating
talk
you.
About this, Dan.
No, that's okay. I'm probably more interested in whether a cat would eat you as well. I mean, I'd eat it if I needed to, right?
Yeah.
We talk all the time about which of our dogs we would eat, and we would certainly eat the fat
you know
one, but
I
then
mean.
My daughter gets... my daughter gets upset because that's her favorite. The fat dog.
This is history in the making.
Yeah, this is Charlie Murphy, and me... I never listen to Bob and Dan on the ticket.
A seal's butt never touches the toilet seat, I can assure you.
Right about now, Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, presents the Bob and Dan Radio Show.
Also let you know President Bush passed away.
Today's special occasions include... We talk to Rangers color man C.J. Nitkowski. We learn about Katie and Colton's love on Marrying Millions. And sorry, P1, Keeler tries his hand at the crow line once again. Also, what is a Mino? Ticker Man, Sam Hale, not Sam Madison, me, the killer, R.I.P. Jake. And now, two hosts who can't remember who me too'd the other first, Julie Dobbs and Dan McDowell!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enthusiasm killer.
Thank you, Julie. That's called the drop third strike.
Do you think, Mino, that the impossible may have happened? Has Killer learned timing? I feel like he kind of hit that one.
He's been doing this for 10 days now, and he's getting it.
9 days.
He's getting like
it.
A blind
it's getting,
a,
it's getting better
or,
every time.
Like, did he just get lucky? Was that the monkey on a typewriter that typed out a Shakespearean play?
I could feel his confidence oozing as he was going on with that. So I think he's getting better.
It's the
which I don't know if is better.
Julie made me feel more strong and like I could do anything today.
Good. That's what I'm here
confidence.
For, Killer.
Building confidence through Julie Dobbs.
I just want to elevate everybody to another level. You know?
I like unconfident Killer better.
Shake voice?
Yeah.
He's gone, Milo. He's gone.
He'll be back Monday, I promise.
I want him to be gone. Well,
yeah, I don't think we should start doing a home run trot until we see the ball go over the fence, right?
He's still got a long way to go today.
It is barely noon. And yes, this is day six in our six-day journey. Our glorious Bob-free journey. Bob is out dealing with some issues. He didn't really want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But we wish him well.
Snorkel issues.
That may be his cover.
You know what I mean.
But I believe that he's got some deeper problems going on. But nowadays, you do things quicker. So the rehab center kind of gets you right in and out of there. So we're kind of thankful for that here at the Ticket. But yeah, we started off last Friday, 1 week ago today, trying the worst party ever with Mike Ducey.
Wow, was that a week ago?
Doesn't it seem like forever ago?
It was like a month ago.
Doesn't it seem like forever?
It really was the worst party.
We were trying to grill hot dogs indoors. That didn't work out. But I believe some Creed was playing and...
There's still some buns in the ticker room I saw, unless someone removed them.
No, they're still here.
Yeah, a week later. If anybody wants some buns, go visit Sam.
There might be still some hot dogs. I'm not sure if they got eaten in the crosstalk this weekend.
Monday was Metal Bats. Tuesday we went Followell with some play-by-play of life.
Yep.
Dave Raymond was our Wednesday guest. That was pretty fun, right?
It was a lot of fun.
Dave Raymond is good people.
He is.
Good dude.
Yesterday, the great Donovan.
Yep, pretty seamless there.
Donnie Frog, as we really know him as more. And today, we did not want a crescendo too soon, but here we are. Building up, we've built up to the crescendo.
Oh, goodness.
It builds up, dude.
And the crescendo is... Ladies, Julie Dobbs.
There really was nobody else, huh?
The Ticket's newest and brightest star.
I don't know about all that.
Everybody's newest play toy. Everybody wants a piece of Julie Dobbs.
Unanimous rookie of the year.
I don't think there's any doubt. I think on the ESPYs they said she was the newcomer of the year as well.
Well, I've thought about this, and I don't feel like I had... very much competition, if any, in rookies. I mean, full-time rookies. But that's okay. Thank you, guys. I appreciate the award.
Like we said, unanimous rookie of the year.
Right.
Everybody voted on it because there was no one else to vote for.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What's our last full-time hire? Was it Julie? Here at the Ticket?
Seems
yes.
like it. And it's been over a year, so...
We don't make a lot of hires.
Not a lot of movement. Around here.
Pretty stagnant.
In a good way.
Stagnant is a negative word.
Also,
stable.
Matt Birmingham, we forgot about him. Sorry, Ham.
Was he in the last year?
Yeah, I think that was about the same time as Julie.
He's
maybe
been good.
A little before.
I think it was a little after.
Or after, I don't know.
He kind of flies a little more under that radar, though. He's so light. He lightly flies. He's the world's lightest man. Did you know that?
Yeah. Every time Mike asks him his current weight,
do you think you weigh more than him?
He dies inside.
Do you weigh more than Matt Birmingham? I know my daughters do.
I mean, it's been 4 minutes, and you're asking me how much I weigh?
Oh well,
that's not a nice question.
Let's open it up.
I'm working on it.
Hey, I'm not the one doing weight loss spots. You're publicly talking about what you weigh on the air.
That's true, but I never said an actual number. You have to keep that a mystery.
Oh. Why? But, like, you're married. You're not looking to hook up or anything. It's over for you.
It's
Life
not
is over
for me, Dan. Life is not over.
Life is over.
Life
Once
is
you get married,
beginning.
You're done. You kind of mail it in.
That's not what you're supposed to do. That's what you do, but that's not what you're supposed to do. I don't know. I'm starting to think that after you have your second child, life might really be over.
But you can't just give me an over-under on Matt Birmingham weight.
What, he's like 125?
I told you,
basically,
my daughter's way more than him. I think he's like 120 or something.
Yeah, he's 6 foot 125.
I am trying.
Like, he's insanely small. Like, but he's a normal build guy. I feel like his bones are that of a hummingbird. They're hollow.
You know what? When we were running back from the grocery store, and I was, Killer had left, and it was me and Mark Folliwell and Matt Birmingham, running across the street, I felt really large and sad. Those are two little guys, both of them.
Yeah, Folliwell has shed quite a bit of weight over the years.
And they, like, darted across the street, and I'm, like, kind of huffing and puffing, like, all right.
I think Folliwell said he was, like, 150 or 145.
He wears a medium.
I would have thought.
He wears a medium.
So that's got to be less than 160, I'd say.
Yeah. And all I can say is that I'm...
But you're like a... Okay, well, I was just going to say, I don't want to... I mean, you don't... You don't look like you need to lose weight at all.
Thanks, Dan.
For real.
You know, it was kind of like a...
You look like a person.
Well, good.
But and Ham looks like a regular person, but he's not.
He looks like a little guy.
He's empty inside.
Yeah, and I'm trying to reach Ham level. I guess we could say that. Like, his weight is... I'm almost there, actually.
So you're a product of our unrealistic media and society that is...
not really.
That shames you for just being normal.
No, not really. You just feel so much better. And I had a couple kids and, you know, then you're really busy and you're not able to go to the gym and do this and do that. And when Soda came to me or Killer came to me at first, I was kind of like, Killer, what are you trying to say?
So Killer approached you.
Yeah, he did.
That was an awkward conversation.
Said, you know, I think you could lose a few pounds.
But I thought about it and I'm like, why the heck not? This is a really good opportunity. And so my husband and I are both doing it, and it's going well, down 16
He
pounds.
Also doesn't look like somebody we had him.
No.
Last I saw him was on a Stars trip, but he looks like he's one of the most in shape guys I've ever seen, and now he's trying to lose weight. He looked very in shape.
Maybe
I didn't stare at his gut.
Right.
I was looking deeply into his eyes.
I think we both would have been just fine, but when given the opportunity to get to a place where maybe you aren't able to get to on your own, why not, right? And then you feel better, more energy, all that jazz. So it's good. But let's not talk about my weight anymore. What else can we talk about in here?
How about your age? How old are you? We've covered your weight.
I'll talk about that. I really don't care anymore. Well, I just turned 34.
34?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which you've I feel like...
Almost had it. Not yet.
What? Tony's obsession?
Huh? No, I said you've almost had it. Like, you're down. You're done.
I thought
you're done.
You were
on the
to
down...
talk about menopause.
Oh, jeez, Julie.
Because I haven't
Dan's
had
like,
that.
All right, let's talk about weight again.
That's like, I don't know.
What is going through your mind
I've
that you would think that would be something I would want to discuss with you?
I said I'm 34, and you said you've almost had it.
I just mean, you know, you're over the hill, done. You're you're useless now that you're 34.
I'm trying not to be useless. I'm really trying my hardest here.
I don't mean you. I just mean women in general.
Okay.
So that's nice.
We all become useless.
That's
a
nicer thing to say,
like,
right?
Like, when we can't reproduce anymore.
I'm just trying to be nice.
You're not doing very well.
Oh. Well, I need work.
We'll work through it today. By the end of the day, you're going to be really, really nice.
Once your kids become teenagers, I feel like you're going to be able to have your time to work out and your...
Right. Everything changes.
Like... It is weird. I was just discussing this with my wife today.
Okay.
It is weird because we were, my first daughter is already out of the house. She's on a 3-month thing with some kind of a band thing. It's a
right.
traveling
band camp.
Marching band. It's not band camp. Please don't.
It can be a different kind of band camp. It's okay.
I should have never seen, was it American Pie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Seeing American Pie just made everything worse for me.
Well, it sounds like it's really cool what she's doing.
She likes it, and yeah, whatever. It doesn't sound like anything I'd be remotely interested in ever in my life.
She's not you, yeah.
So my second daughter is on at something called Duke Tip, which is another thing I probably
jokes in there somewhere
would never have done in my life. But it is it's basically you're going to school for 3 weeks in the summer.
Okay.
And it is originally, I guess it starts out through Duke University, and some kids that sign up for this, they take a class that is at Duke University. We don't go that extravagant as far as our spending on this thing goes.
Right.
It costs enough anyway to send her for 3 weeks.
But she's at Rice University.
Oh, cool.
So she's down there. Last year, she was at somewhere else, Trinity University. Is that a thing?
It is, in San Antonio.
Yeah.
That's where my mom went.
Oh, okay. So we drove her down there,
mm-hmm.
dropped her off, picked her up, all that kind of stuff. Dropped her off at Rice. So she's been gone like a week now, and we have two more weeks.
So you're all alone? You and your wife.
You're like empty nesters.
Me and my wife are alone, so really... It's I love that Borat drop that you play.
It was
Mino.
Actually me.
That was you doing the Borat
voices,
voice?
Yeah,
wow,
good.
Man, I got to call some in here to hear that.
Still don't believe that.
But I was so our big excitement is that we can watch like any show we want now at any time. Sometimes we tone it back for if a kid's going to be walking through the room, we don't watch I'll just be honest. We don't watch the hardcore porn if the kid can walk through the room. But without her, we can just watch that. But it's just kind of something we watch all day.
No, you don't.
No, hardcore profanity shows or something
right.
You know, but
which is like 80% of shows I feel like these days that we watch and talk about are probably not kid appropriate shows. We meaning the general public.
Yeah, like even Handmaid's Tale or something.
Yeah.
Some of those images are kind of disturbing, even though my kid's older. And I'm sure she sees that stuff and talks with her friends about that stuff, but I don't want to be the place where she remembers hearing it first or whatever.
Yep.
But anyway, we were just talking about how it's kind of nice this last week and the 2 weeks, and we're getting stuff done around the house, and it isn't because we're going at it like rabbits, believe me, but it's not why it's nice, but it's because we're just able to just, do what we want. We go to eat where we want. There's really no big arguments or anything because we're pretty old and boring and,
You probably feel like you have more time than you know what to do with, and what do we even do with ourselves?
Kind
that's
of.
How I would feel.
I wonder, what did we used to do before we had kids?
What did I complain about? Why did
say
I was tired?
I'm kind of not looking forward to the weekend, except I have personal stuff to do. Got to get all my stuff ready for training camp, flights. I have a lot of things to
driving.
Do.
Right. Very busy.
Car stuff.
I have a lot of things to do.
Very important.
But not... It used to be, wall-to-wall... From 7A to 8P, you were at a soccer game or then a softball game or at this thing or that thing or ice cream or whatever. And that's great. I love having every second of my day planned with my kids because it's a lot of fun. But now I'm looking at a smack dab at a whole weekend with nothing on the plate. And I'm trying to remember what we used to do. But anyway, where I'm going with this is that it feels like nature... It's like nature has this plan where it all works out. I had a lady that lived across the street from me who I remember probably 10 years ago or so was like, I can't wait till my daughter gets out of the house and goes to college. And I thought in my head, she's a bad parent and I'm a good parent because I would never think that. I love every second with my kids. It's great. I go home. My kid wants to jump in the pool right away. I hang with I stay up really late every day. Because of the schedule I built with, I go home, lucky that our schedule's so great, I can get home by 4:30 or something.
Yeah.
And then I'm hanging with my kids until they go to bed at night, and then I go watch a game and do stuff and get ready for the show and all that. So I'm up extra late because I'm not doing anything for the show between, 4 and 9 o'clock or something.
Yeah.
But now that they're so nature has developed this thing. When they're really little, they're all cute. Like, when you see a kid now in their teens and they're ugly, let's be honest, not everybody is beautiful.
Yup.
That kid, that was a cute baby.
Every baby's cute.
All babies are cute. Pretty much, yeah.
95%.
And so you want to protect them and you treat them right. And even as they're growing up, they're little things they do. It's cute. It's loving. You love this kid, and they're so giving to you, and they hug your leg, and when you get home from work, they can't wait to see you. They run up to meet you as if they were a small dog, like the dog loves you anytime, right?
Yeah.
So the kids just can't wait. You get up. When I go on a Stars trip or something, they would change. They would visibly change to me, and but they were great. They couldn't wait till you got home and whatever you brought them back. It could be a stick of gum that you bought at the airport just on the way in. And, I can't believe you brought me a gift. It's so wonderful. And it's great.
Your life is wonderful. Kids are really fun. It is great. I've always thought you could see why dudes get divorced and married again to a younger girl that can have kids again, because it's fun.
Yeah.
And you do it better the next time, probably. You made all these mistakes the first time. Okay, so now they become teenagers, and they become kind of jerky, and they create a little distance. They create it themselves. They don't want to do anything with you. They're bored by what you want to do.
They're embarrassed by you.
They're embarrassed by you. They don't want you around anymore.
Yeah.
There's a point in the sleepovers where the dynamic of power changes. Like when they're younger and they're doing sleepovers, you walk into the room and, oh, we got to straighten up. And this person is a person of authority, and we're going to listen to what you say, and we're going to follow it. We're going to take your suggestions. And now when they have sleepovers, it's they giggle and laugh at you. They're whispering something like you don't feel comfortable around them anymore. Anyway, there's this separation that has been created. I see it more with my older daughter, but my younger daughter's starting into this world where now she's, you know, now she's kind of acting like a jerk half the time, and she doesn't want anything to do with me. And now it's kind of vice versa sometime. Like, okay, I'm fine with you not wanting. Yeah. I also don't want to have anything to do with you right now. You know, like, I still love them and they're awesome. And but now you could see where it's kind of created this to where if they go off to college, you're almost like, okay, yeah.
You're kind of ready for it.
I'm fine. And it's sad. But nature has created this. Their personalities have created this separation to where...
And then it also kind of becomes full circle, because once they go to college and go into adulthood, they become your friend.
That's what I hear.
My mom is one of my best friends now, and you just kind of talking about the stage that your daughters are in.
Were you ever jerky, daughter?
I was. That's what I was. That's where I was just going. Like, and now that I'm a parent, I feel so bad and guilty about the way that I acted, like, between ages 13 to 18-ish until I went to college, really. That's when you really, like, think that you're the best thing to walk the earth, right? And your parents are just embarrassing. They're just getting in the way. They're setting curfews. That was always my big one. Like, my mom's curfew was 12:30 in high school, which is pretty good, right? Like, now that I'm a mom, I don't want to let my kids stay out past 12:30.
That feels late.
But I thought that was the worst thing ever, because there was one or two or three kids that I knew that ran in my group that had no curfew or had a 2 a.m. curfew. And that's everything at that point in life. Like, going out, spending time with your friends, dabbling in things you shouldn't be doing and trying to figure all that out. But looking back, I'm like, I was a jerk. I'm really sorry, Mom. And I hope that my kids don't treat me like that. They will.
But it's all, it seems to be some grand plan, some big thing. Nature has this figured out. They're doing it right.
Yep.
So that when they do leave, you're not bawling and crying so much. Maybe you still are a little bit, but.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Let's do a radio show.
I don't want to say love hate, but you sure do love them, and then you sure do like your time alone as well.
Let's stop having fun and let's start doing a radio show.
Okay.
All right. We have big breaking sports news, and we discuss that next.